Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 229 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through a love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk a lot of football later on, but right now my first guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she is making her debut on the podcast. She is Janae Griffith. Janae, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate all you do for our student athletes and our community. It's a wonderful thing.
Oh, you bet. Thank you. Well, I appreciate those kind words. Uh-huh. I know you have a long history here in Ankeny. Your son Quincy played on Ankeny's state championship football team back there in 2012. And,
yes.
And we can talk about him a little bit, but I'm sure you still follow the local schools quite a bit, don't you?
Yes. That game on Friday was something else. Great game, and just really sad that someone had to lose. But great, great high school football game. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think that's probably the most exciting Jaguar game we've ever had. I mean, it'd be tough to beat that one.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I did want to ask you about Quincy a little bit. I know he's in his first season as a graduate assistant at Iowa. How's he like it over there?
Oh, gosh. He loves it. I tell people he's the happiest kid in the world right now. So things are going great. We are excited for him and so happy. And my husband and I are planning to go to all the games this year, and starting with this Saturday, so we're fired up for it.
Well, I see you already have Hawkeye gear, so you're ready to go, aren't you?
I'm ready to go.
Now, have you guys always been Hawkeye fans or not really?
I grew up a Hawkeye fan. I grew up in Northeast Iowa. My husband was kind of indifferent, and then we moved to Ankeny, and I swear all of our friends were Iowa State fans. So me personally, I always have cheered for Iowa State, Iowa, and UNI. My older son went to UNI. I got my master's at UNI. I grew up 10 miles down the road from UNI. So I'm a UNI fan as well. So I really do cheer for all the teams and want them all to do really well.
Sure.
So.
Now, as Quincy shared with you, you know, like what a lot of his duties are, what exactly does he do as a grad assistant over there?
Well, compared to the other positions he's had at the other colleges, I don't want to say minimal. It's not minimal. No, he really hasn't shared a lot. It's just such a jump, you know, going from a Division II program to a Division III program.
Sure.
And he just has, I don't want to say he has less responsibilities, but in his previous positions, he's basically done everything. Not everything, but, you know, a lot, from equipment to organizing this and doing all that. And now he's got a pretty much laser focus here on the offensive line, and he's just learning that as much as he can and doing whatever he needs to do for that. But yeah, he's loving it. He's learning a lot, loves the staff. He's just so happy there. So.
Well, of course, one of his old high school teammates on the offensive line, Xavier Quigley, is up at Iowa State. He started out as a grad assistant, and now
yes.
He's moved into a little higher position, I think. But
yes.
I'm sure those guys will have fun with that rivalry next week.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's just amazing. So I'm so happy they're both here in Iowa close.
Well, hey, we can talk a little bit of real estate, too.
Okay.
I mean, I know the growth here in Ankeny has just been unbelievable. I ride my bike around town a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm just always amazed at all the new developments I see that I didn't even know existed. I mean, it's just amazing.
It is. We moved our family here in 1996, and there were 26,000 people here. And now I think we're at 71,000. So it's a great place to live, as you know. We're growing. I feel like our city managers are doing a great job of all the new developments we have. We have parks, we have walking paths. I mean, it's just a great place to be, to live, to raise your family. Our schools are excellent. And there's still houses out there, resales, new construction, we've got it all. I looked it up before I came, anywhere from $100,000 all the way to $3.6 million, everywhere, anything in between. So if you're looking to buy a home, it's just a great community to be in. So.
Now, do you have any specific developments that you focus on or not really?
I don't represent a builder or anything, but just work with buyers and sellers and do whatever I can.
Sure. Well, I'm sure you work with a lot of different clients. I mean, what's the best advice you'd have for either a buyer or seller right now? I mean, I know the market interest rates, you know, fluctuate quite a bit. But I mean,
yeah.
what would be your advice for either buyers or sellers right now?
I'd say my best advice is, you've probably heard this buzz phrase going around, marry the house, buy the rate. If you find a house you love, don't let the rates deter you from buying it. There are lots of different great lenders out there that you can work with and see what your options are and get in it. You can always refinance. So if you want to move, it's never a bad time to move. And real estate is a great investment. It builds wealth. Homes in Ankeny have appreciated since, since way back in the day, And they're going to continue, especially with the growth that we are having in the community.
Now, how long have you been working as a realtor?
I started in real estate in 2006. I was an educator. I was a high school counselor. I've worked at both Ankeny High School and Centennial. And I retired from education in 21, so I've kind of dove into real estate a little bit more since then. But prior to that, I just had a really good friend, Nikki Nichols. She helped me out while I was, working full-time, so to speak. So I did both for quite a while, and now I'm just doing that in my retirement.
Well, you must enjoy it.
Yeah, I do. I love people. I love talking to people, meeting people, and being from a small town, Iowa, I feel like I can connect with people. I can always find a connection with something when I'm meeting people in an open house or whatever. So I just love to talk to people and learn about them.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in New Hartford, Iowa, which is 10 miles from my house to the Uni Dome is 10 minutes.
So sure.
Little town.
Part of that Dyke New Hartford volleyball dynasty.
Well, actually, I'm a little bit older than that. It was just New Hartford at the time, but I can't remember when they consolidated with Dyke. And I actually, we didn't have volleyball in our high school until I was a junior.
Oh, okay.
But I love volleyball too. I mean, oh my gosh, we have some of the best. This state of Iowa and volleyball is just amazing. And football is amazing. Volleyball is amazing. We've just got it all. Wrestling, I can't say enough about sports in Iowa. I think it's great.
Yeah, the high school sports, it is a great place to be, no doubt. I have no complaints with it, for sure.
Yeah, but lots of talent. Lots of talent.
Well, if you're looking to take on any new clients, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
They can call me. I'll give you my number, 515-321-0712, or just Google me, Janae Griffith at Caldwell Banker, and I have a website, and I'll be happy to help you find a place to live.
All right, Janae. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
You
bet.
Bye. All right, my next guest is in his first season as the head coach at Ankeny, and what a debut he had on Friday night as the Hawks twice rallied from 17 points down to beat Ankeny Centennial 39-38 in double overtime. It was the first time in the history of the rivalry that a game was decided by fewer than 3 points, and is arguably the most exciting game in series history, certainly the most exciting finish. Anyway, here's Jeff Bauer. Jeff, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, David.
Hey, you bet. One of you guys have a huge game coming up on Friday, and we'll break that one down here in a little bit. But we have to start with last week's game. That was such an incredible win for your team. I'm sure you guys were all on cloud nine afterwards. Did it take a while to come down from that victory?
Yeah, it did. Obviously, it was exciting, special. I mean, to come back from 17 down twice, like you said, turned the ball over 4 times. And the first time for that staff and team to be together was, it was pretty special. So,
well, the game certainly didn't get off to a good start for you guys. Your team trailed 10-0 before your offense even touched the ball, and the Jaguars later turned an interception into a long scoring pass on the next play to take a 17-0 lead late in the first quarter. I know you told me after the game that you're kind of shocked by how the game started, and Connor Kaiser told me that maybe the team was too hyped up. Do you think the players were maybe playing with too much emotion early on?
Could have been, especially with as many new guys as we had playing for the first time in the varsity field on a Friday night. Maybe trying to do too much, but the onside kick, if that was on purpose, obviously caused by surprise and just being down 10-0 before your offense touches the ball, it puts you in a different frame of mind.
So. Well, you guys eventually got your offense untracked, and you got on the scoreboard on the first of 2 touchdown runs by Kaiser out of the Wildcat formation. Now, he told me afterwards that he figured you guys would ask him to carry the ball a little bit at some point this season, but he didn't know it was going to happen in week one. Was that something you had planned to do all week?
We prepared for it. Mm-hmm. Brady Walls is the offensive coordinator that is the mastermind behind the offense, and we have many options. Work on many things during the week that we can do. And that was obviously one of them that we had, you know, worked on. So,
well, his second touchdown run came with 10 seconds left in the half, and that capped a long drive that cut Centennial's lead to 24-14 at the break. You know, that was just a huge score, wasn't it? Because it seemed like it changed the momentum of the game.
That was a huge score. Is they had just scored, I think there's only like less than a minute 30 left.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we've worked 2 minute a lot this summer, this camp. And so I said, hey, that's basically what we have every time we put a minute 30 on the clock in practice. And, you know, the big play to Akers was huge. But to be able to finish that was a big boost for us going into halftime.
Well, then your defense came up with a big play early in the third quarter, a big stop that gave your offense some great field position, and that eventually led to a 20-yard field goal by Ryan Harrington that made it a one-possession game. You guys ended up holding the Jaguars scoreless in the second half, you know, so that was quite a turnaround for your defense. And I know you have a lot of new starters on both sides of the ball, so didn't it just took a while for the guys on your D to, you know, feel comfortable with what they were doing?
Yeah, again, when you're playing varsity football for the first time, the speed's different. And when you're playing Centennial, the speed is definitely different. I mean, they have guys that can fly over there. And your angles that you're taking in practice to touch off on guys or tackle guys, those aren't the same angles you need on Friday night against Centennial. So, you know, I think we adjusted better in the second half to their speed and got more comfortable and, you know, did what we needed to do.
Well, Kaiser told me afterwards that he thought Angelo Hornow was your player of the game because he was just all over the field. You know, what can you say about his performance?
Yeah, he was awesome. Played with tons of heart. He's been good, but he really played, you know, the best we've seen him play. And it's great to see a senior come out and do that, you know, for week one. So.
Well, the second half really turned into a defensive struggle until late in the fourth quarter when you guys drove 69 yards for the tying touchdown. Daniel Army scored on a 2-yard run with 1:59 left to send the game into overtime. Did you kind of feel like you guys had all the momentum going into overtime?
I did. I just felt like I thought we had less guys cramping. I thought we had prepared. I mean, we work on it. We talk about it, about hydrate, eat. We try to take stuff off our guys during practice. So I felt good about our shape, and I felt, you know, played better in the second half. So I felt good going into overtime. So I didn't really, you know, when someone said something to me about going for two at the end, you know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think that was the time or place to do it right there. So,
well, Larmy rushed for 114 yards and 25 carries, and he also scored on a 10-yard catch to open the first overtime. Caden Henke's added 68 yards rushing on 15 attempts. You know, so those two guys really give you a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield, don't they?
Yeah, they're both very good. They're different, which they complement each other greatly. But that also is a testament to our offensive line and how well those guys played against Centennial up front. Is we made some holes for them. Mm-hmm. We were able to get those yards, which was a huge part of the game.
Well, then Centennial answered your touchdown with a 1-yard scoring run by quarterback Trenton Smith on third down, and then Smith fired a 16-yard touchdown pass to Chase Shetty to put the Jaguars ahead 38-31 in the second overtime. You guys had a penalty start to the ensuing possession, and eventually you were faced with fourth and goal from the three, and then your quarterback Luke Anderson, he found the guy sitting here with us tonight, Evan Earlmeyer, in the corner of the end zone for a touchdown that pulled your team to within a point. Now, Evan finished with 8 catches for 107 yards. You know, he just has a knack for getting open, doesn't he?
Yeah, his feet, his routes are super. His quickness and speed, he's a tough matchup for anybody. Obviously, we've known that. And he's a dude people have to account for. Obviously, that play on the fourth down was just incredible. Great throw by Luke, great catch by Evan. You know, that was, everything was on the line right there, so.
Well, then you guys lined up to kick the extra point, but after Centennial was called for encroachment and that moved the ball closer to the goal line, you guys then decided to go for two and the win. You know, that was a pretty gutsy call, but did you just feel like that was your best chance to win the game right there?
Well, yeah, I figured 3 yards is one thing, but what a yard and a half. I mean, all night long we've been running inside. Go, okay, yard and a half, let's do it. And, you know, Coach Walls had the thing, hey, they think we're going to run it like we had all night, and decided to throw up to our 6'6 wide receiver. So we liked our chances of that.
Well, you had a couple good options there then.
Yeah.
Well, of course, yeah, Anderson then found Devin Akers with the pass for the winning conversion. Devin told me afterwards that you guys kind of messed up that final play, but, you know, it all worked out, didn't it?
Yeah, it was, Devin was supposed to come in a little short motion towards the line screen, or towards the inside. He just didn't move, you know. So it took him a little longer to get where he needed to. But it was the play that was supposed to be run, but he probably ended up, you know, half a second a little later than it should have been. Ended up all right.
Well, he had three catches for 90 yards, and you had told me earlier that you felt like he had a chip on his shoulder after missing most of last year due to an injury, and he showed on Friday that he's got a chance to be a pretty potent weapon, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I mean, we have speed and quickness and height and catch radius with Akers, our two top receivers, obviously. They're both very good. It's tough for teams to match up with both of those guys, especially when they're on the same side of the field. It's, you know, it's tough for defense.
Well, after a little bit of a shaky start, Anderson finished 14 of 30 passing for 221 yards and two touchdowns in his first varsity start. What did you think of his performance?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, you could see each quarter he got better and better. His confidence, I think, grew. I mean, he missed some easy throws, you know, but you're going to do that, and we expect that. You're going to make mistakes. You know, Coach Walls and offensive staff, we talked about, you know, hey, you know, Jace Bowers' first varsity game, he threw three interceptions against Johnston. J.J. Cole's first varsity game with the Hawks, he was not very good against the Tanner Loper, you know. And Luke had the best one out of three, so I think it's kudos to him.
Yeah, his future certainly looks up, right?
Yes.
Well, let's look ahead now. You guys will host Southeast Polk, the two-time defending Class 5A champion, on Friday. And you guys have had some epic battles against the Rams over the last few years. They're combined 35-3 since the start of the 2020 season. And I didn't realize this until I looked it up, but all three of those losses were to Ankeny. And I don't know if you guys can take anything away from those games that will help you on Friday, but what do you think has been the key for Frankie to win those three games against Polk?
I don't know. You know, our kids have... We've always played well against them. I don't know why. We've always been prepared. They're well coached. Coach Zelenovich does a great job over there. And they, every time we play them, they're huge. And it's no different this year. They're, you know, they're bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we play well. You know, we've had good quarterback play in all those games, which has made a difference. But we have skilled guys here that can make plays, and that's, it seems like we've always made plays against them. So,
well, Southeast Polk opened its season on Friday with a 24-18 win at number 3 Valley in a rematch of last year's state championship game. Quarterback Connor Moberly passed for 192 yards and two touchdowns, and he's an Iowa State recruit, so he'll be joining his former teammate Abu Sama in Ames next year. Of course, last year the Rams relied heavily on Sama because he rushed for 372 yards and six touchdowns in the Class 5A final. On Friday, the Rams got a combined 136 yards rushing from the duo of C.J. Phillip and Landon Vandenwerf. So do you think Southeast Polk will be more of a passing team this year, or is it maybe too early to tell?
Yeah. Honestly, you got a great quarterback like they have. They're going to throw the ball,
mm-hmm.
you know, more than they did last year. Obviously, you don't have a one-generation running back like they had last year, which, you know, he was unbelievable, obviously. But, I mean, the two running backs are still very good. Their offensive line is big, senior-laden. So, I mean, we expect them to be balanced. A 50-50 type thing I would expect. They have two good receivers, you know, more than two good, but Falloon and Robbins
mm-hmm.
are very good, great route runners. They catch the ball well. So, you know, we'll have our hands full.
Well, I see Moberly completed passes to seven different receivers last week, so he can really spread the ball around, can he?
Yes. I mean, they have a great system, and they don't rely at all. They just, you know, they're like Ankeny. They have lots of guys. You know, when you're deep, you have guys, they have five, six guys that can go out and catch the ball, so.
What also appears that Southeast Polk has a pretty good defense again. The Rams limited Valley to 61 yards on the ground and fewer than 3 yards per carry. Do you think it'll be important for you guys to establish the run against them a little bit just to keep some of the pressure off the quarterback?
Yeah, obviously we have to. I have confidence in our offensive line that we will open some holes for our, our two running backs are going to find the openings if we create them for them. So I feel confident we'll, you know, it might be tough going on, you know, early going, but I think we'll get into a rhythm and get, you know, find some openings there.
Well, it should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck on Friday, Jeff. We'll see you there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is a junior receiver for the Hawks. Last year, he caught 30 passes for 412 yards and 6 touchdowns and was named to the All-District second team. Like I mentioned earlier, he had 8 catches for 107 yards in Friday's win over Centennial, including the fourth down catch for the touchdown in the second overtime. So he's already off to a great start this year. He is Evan Erlmeyer. Evan, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Oh, you bet. Well, before we break down the Jaguar game and preview the Southeast Polk contest, I wanted to ask you about your uniform number. You switched from number 34 to number 2 this year. Did you just like number 2 better?
I've always liked 2. I've always grew up playing in 2, and Jameson had it last year, so I want to follow him.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that Jameson wore it last year, and of course now he's at Iowa State, and he was a stand-up for the Hawks on both sides of the ball. You know, is there any chance that we'll see you on defense at some point this year, or are you just strictly a receiver?
Just strictly a receiver, not defense.
Well, have you always been a receiver? Have you ever played any other positions?
Well, I started football late. I started freshman year, and then I started corner, and then I got hurt, so I did not like that. So then I switched to receiver and slot sophomore year, and then just kind of rolled with it.
Well, seems to be working for you. Well, we talked with Coach about how your team had to overcome a slow start on Friday against Centennial. You know, what was going through your mind when your team fell behind 17-0?
I was still confident. I knew we were young. I knew we were inexperienced. I didn't think it was going to start well. I think we all kind of gathered together. We listened to coaches, and we just took it from there.
Well, you were held without a catch until late in the second quarter, and then you had receptions of 24 and 12 yards on the scoring drive right before the half. Now, was Centennial doing anything special to try to slow you down early in the game, or did you guys make any adjustments to try to get you the ball?
I think Coach Walls has put us in position. Luke started getting more comfortable. The O-line started getting more comfortable. And on the first drive, I ran the wrong route, so that was on me. And then after that, we kind of just got in a roll.
Well, then in the second half, you had a 23-yard reception that helped set up the field goal by Harrington late in the third quarter. And then later, you had a 12-yard catch on the scoring drive that tied the game at the end of regulation. Now, when you guys started that possession at your own 31-yard line with about 5 minutes left, it was really pretty much a do-or-die situation. And your offense had picked up only one first down total on its previous 3 possessions. So were you confident that you guys could drive the ball down the field?
Yeah, it was. I felt the offense had it. Walls kept us all up, and we just kind of went.
Well, then in the second overtime, you had the clutch catch on fourth down for the touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Now, the game could have ended right there if you don't come down with the ball. You know, what was going through your mind when you saw Luke throw the ball to you?
The play was for me to run it out, and then Luke scrambled out, and I was expecting the ball, but he rolled out with pressure, and then he threw it up, and then I just had to make a play.
Probably didn't have too much time to think about it, huh?
I don't know.
Well, we talked with Coach about the decision to go for 2 points after Centennial was called for the penalty on the PAT try. You know, it obviously worked out for you guys. You know, were you okay with that decision to go for it?
Well, I thought personally Kaiser was going to run it because I was on the sideline because it was jumbo. And then I saw Luke throw it and I got scared because it was in triple coverage. But then we all just rushed the field. So.
Well, I don't know if you had a very good view of Akers' catch or not on that 2-point conversion, but you know, he had to go up and get the ball in a crowd of Centennial defenders. But you know, I guess with him being a 6'6" guy, he's the right guy to throw it up to, isn't he?
Oh yeah, for sure. Akers can catch literally everything in sight. So,
well, I know how much winning the Jaguar game means to all of you guys. But when you look at your schedule, you've got games coming up against Southeast Polk, Dowling Catholic, and then Johnston, and all three of those teams had impressive wins on Friday. So with that grueling stretch coming up, you know, that probably makes the win against Centennial even all the more important, doesn't it?
Yeah, we know that's only week one. We just got to keep going one game at a time.
Well, I see in this week's Des Moines Register rankings that they dropped Centennial to number 10, but you guys are still unranked. You know, does that make sense to you? Because you guys just beat them, right?
We don't worry about rankings. Yeah. We just play the next game.
Well, now you guys get a shot to knock off the 2-time defending champs. It's supposed to warm up again this weekend. We'll have a high temp of about 90 degrees, I think, on Friday. Now, last week's game, there were quite a few players who suffered some cramps and had to leave the field, and you were telling me earlier that I guess you had one. So I imagine but you guys are all preparing now for this again, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Coaches are telling us to drink water, bananas, pickle juice, everything to stay healthy.
What do you think are going to be the keys to the game this Friday?
Establish the run game and then go from there. Luke will make throws, and that'll be it.
Well, I thought last week your hurry-up offense kind of took a toll on Centennial's defense as the game went on, and Ryan Pizzetti said that his team did get tired. Do you think that same strategy can maybe be effective against the Rams?
Well, we're obviously not as big as other teams, so we kind of just have to hurry up offense, get them tired, and have our speed.
Well, Evan, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. Of course, you also play for the Yankee baseball team. Have you thought about, you know, college yet, or are you, you know, thinking about trying to play either football or baseball at the next level?
I honestly don't really know right now. I think I like football, and I also really like baseball, so I kind of just have to see how it goes.
You still got some time to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for coming in tonight, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We have Coldwell Banker Realtor Janae Griffith, followed by Ankeny football coach Jeff Bauer and junior receiver Evan Earlmeyer. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. Enjoyed all those conversations tonight. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.